Okay, well, if you want to take a seat, we're just going to go on for a little bit longer here. That's a good warm-up. We'll go a little bit deeper, and then we'll have a quick break. Let's really open our heart up to this unseen realm that's in the heavens. Remember, the tabernacle had all these different pieces of furniture, and every one of those pieces of furniture is like a place in the spirit. I just want to tell you about an experience that I had 2 years ago that I'm still recovering from. Everything in the tabernacle is multifaceted. So when I talk about the tabernacle and the different furniture in the tabernacle, my meaning isn't the only meaning. It could have 100 different meanings because every place in the spirit is multifaceted. Whether you're at the throne or whether you're at the candlestick or whether you're at the brazen altar, doesn't matter where you are in that thing, there's dimensions to God, dimension upon dimension upon dimension. Everything in God is multifaceted. And so there's this glorious dimension to God that we discover. So when we have the communion cup religion, we go to a place in the spirit we've never been before. We have our little religious slurp and we think, oh God, that was nice. This place in the spirit's really good. I love it. But no, there's dimension upon dimension at that particular place in the spirit. And every time you go to some place in the spirit and you stay there, it enhances your perception to every other realm of the spirit. So it doesn't matter where God's got you, your perceptions are being sharpened in the spirit realm. So we want to hang wherever God, he's God, right? Whatever's the most strategic place for you to go in the spirit, he will take you there. And you don't worry about what he's doing with other people because that's what he's wanting to do for you, and he's infinite and he's all wise. So let me take you on a real quick journey through history. First of all, God comes down on the mountain. He meets with the Israelites, 3 million people. And this is incredible. Their God's on the mountain. Egypt. Syria. Our God's actually real. And what's more, he's shaking the mountain. Actually, it's really scary, guys. I don't know if you want our God, but he's up there and we know that he's there. And then this incredible thing happens. God comes down and tabernacles with them. We look back from the new covenant and we think, oh, this is all oppressed. No, God's been moving in on us ever since Adam and Eve sinned. He's been moving in on us throughout history. This was God stepping down and said, I'm not happy in the heavens. I want to be with them. I love these people. I want to be with them. In fact, I just want to be a couple of curtains away. Back then, for God to be a couple of curtains away was like, wow, God's 2 curtains away. Awesome. He was nowhere to be seen before, or he was just a consuming fire on a mountain, and I didn't quite know how to handle that. But now, Egypt, Syria, our God's 2 curtains away. And what's more, we know he's there because there's a pillar of cloud above the place where he is in the Holy of Holies. There's a pillar of cloud by day and fire by night. And so the supernatural God is right there. What was that saying? God was saying to Israel and to us that he's the God that wants to be with us, that wants to tabernacle with us. So the emphasis here is God is supernatural and he wants to be with us. Okay, this is so simple it might insult you, but simple is good because it's about being childlike. What was God saying through the tabernacle? He was saying, I'm supernatural, pillar of fire and cloud. I'm supernatural and I want to be with you. I really, really want to be with you. I can't handle being on this mountain with you guys down the bottom. I actually want to be with you. I'll do anything to come in a form and a way that's acceptable for me to be there with you. I just want to be there with you in your midst. But the emphasis was on progression, of course, in the tabernacle because you had to come one. You come in and then brazen altar. And then you moved on, and there's a laver. Then you go into the holy place, and it's a candlestick, and the table of showbread. Then there's the altar of incense, and you go into the Holy of Holies. So what the emphasis was on progression, 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, that's all right. God's God, and sometimes he still moves by progression. But that's just the emphasis at that stage. Then the second stage is the Temple of Solomon. And when they dedicate this temple, the presence of God begins to break out. As they're dedicating the temple, the priests blow the trumpet, and the people are saying with one voice, for the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. And they're saying that over and over and over again. It's a prophetic declaration. And they blow the trumpets, and glory falls down, and the priests can't stand to minister. That's in 2 Chronicles 5. And then 2 chapters later, in 2 Chronicles 7, they got so much of God. When you proclaim the goodness of God, then you encounter the goodness of God even more because of the corporate proclamation, and that makes you want to proclaim it even more. So they're still going, for the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. This time, with the trumpets, and the glory falls so powerfully that they can't even enter into the temple. Why? Because ever since God came down on Mount Sinai and in the tabernacle, he's always been wanting to break out. It was never his intention to be locked in a box, never. And so what he's saying to the nation is, I'm the God that wants to break out. I'm here for a reason. I'm here because I'm actually moving closer to you, but my intention is to break out. That's the type of God that I am. So the emphasis here is what? That the supernatural God is good. He can't be contained, and he doesn't want to be contained. Then we move into Jesus' death and resurrection and Pentecost. And you remember when he died, the curtain was torn from top to bottom. That massive curtain was torn right down the middle. And what was he saying? The emphasis there was no more containment. I'm coming out. And basically, there was a deluge 50 days later. It was a deluge. It was a flood. And we're calling that the wind and the fire and the wine. Then in the book of Revelation, you remember John is caught up in the book of Revelation into the throne of God. He hears this voice. The voice is like a thunder, like a trumpet sound. Sorry, not a thunder. It's like a trumpet saying, come up here. It wasn't just a strong invitation. It was a trumpet sound. It was the voice of Jesus from earlier in Revelation 1. It said his voice sounded like a trumpet. Come up here. You can imagine when that is being trumpeted to you, the invitation is so strong, it's the force of the invitation is already pulling you up into the heavens. And he's doing that. He's doing that. He's saying, come up here, come into this realm, which is yours by birthright, because the blood rent the veil, and now this God who was there in the Holy of Holies and can't be contained has broken out. And then John goes up, and all of the furniture is there. Because remember, the tabernacle is a copy of the unseen things in the heavens. And so all of these different pieces of furniture there. The laver's there, but this time it's a sea. You know, the laver was a bowl where you with water to wash your hands and your feet. But this time it's a whole sea. It's a sea of glass. And the altar's there. The altar of incense is there. You know, the prayers of the saints are coming up, and they're being put on the altar. And even the brazen altar is referred to. The blood of the martyrs is poured out at the foot. Revelation 6 of that altar. That's what they did when they sacrificed at the brazen altar. They'd pour the blood out at the foot of the altar. It's just this time the sacrifice is human lives, martyrs. And of course, God is there sitting on his throne. You know the vision and the glory of it, but this is the point. All the furniture is there, and it's completely open. There's no longer a holy place and a holy of holies. The whole thing's completely wide open. And so when you are at any one of those places in the spirit, whether you're at the altar of incense or whether you're on the sea of glass or whether you're sitting in daddy's lap on the throne of God is in complete view. It's enveloping everything that's in front of you. It's almost like every piece of furniture there is enveloped by God, and you're right kind of in the center of God's heart. And so John has this vision. And he sees all of these different aspects of the Spirit. They're right there before him, but they're completely open to the glory of the one that's sitting upon the throne. And John experiences God in a random sequence at each different piece of furniture. So the progression's not there anymore. I mean, you know, you can kind of move from candlestick, Revelation, into brazen altar. You can move into the throne of God. But there's no barriers there anymore. The progression's gone. This is the emphasis. The emphasis is not progression now. It's the government of the Spirit. So God can pick you up like he did Ezekiel by the hair of his head. He can pick you up and plonk you anywhere he wants. Doesn't have logical sequence to the natural mind. That's how it operates in the realm of the Spirit. And then every now and then to throw us, God goes back to 1, 2, 3, 4. And the next thing, as we get comfortable with that, he starts picking us up by the hair and plonking us in all these different places. But the emphasis now is on the government of the Spirit. Every piece of furniture is enveloped with the reality of the throne. Now, I told you all of that to tell you this, that 2 years ago, I had an experience with the glory of God, and it was really profound for me in that after that experience, every time I prayed, I found myself at this place in the Spirit. And don't ask me how I knew this. I just knew I was at the brazen altar. Well, the brazen altar is the first altar. When you come in the tabernacle, it's not in the holy place, it's not in the holy of holies, it's right at the beginning, just after you get through the door. And I'm in this place, and it's so beautiful. And every time I pray, for 7 whole months after this experience, every time I pray, within minutes, I'm there. I just know I'm in this place in the Spirit, and it's so beautiful, and the mercy of God is just washing over me at this place. It's so beautiful. Every time you go to a place in the Spirit, you could live there. You could camp there forever. This is just so good. And I began to say, well, isn't this interesting, God? You know, I'm at the brazen altar. If we were thinking in the old way, in the progression, we'd think, well, you know, I'm only at stage one. I've got to go 1, 2, 3, 4. I've got to work our way up to get into the Holy of Holies. But this was the brazen altar, and it was so powerful. And this is what God spoke to me. He said, whichever place I want you to be at in the Spirit, and if you stay at that place, your perceptions, your spiritual perception will heighten and increase, and your perception of every other place in the Spirit will increase simultaneously. But it's like what's happened is all of the walls have come off anyway, and so all of those places in the Spirit are enveloped by the one who sits on the throne anyway. It's all inside of him. And it's all wide open there to us. Whenever you spend time at any place, any piece of furniture in the Spirit, your spiritual perception of the other places increases. Now, this is really interesting. The most holy place was enclosed with linen curtains, and they were embroidered with cherubim. So in the throne, remember, you've got the Ark of the Covenant, and there's the cherubim and the mercy seat where the presence of God was there in a manifest way. But the curtains that are surrounding this small box, I've forgotten, is it 15 feet square or something like that? This small encampment where the presence of God is surrounded by these cherubim. So when that curtain was torn in two, when Jesus died, all of the hosts of heaven and the cherubim and all these things in the unseen realm are suddenly wide, wide open to us. And you say, well, wouldn't you rather just have God? Like, why do we need angels? I mean, if you got a choice, sitting on the lap of your daddy or meeting an angel, well, of course, you'll say to me, well, we can have both and we don't have to choose, of course. But if you had to make a choice, you know, most of you say, well, what's the point of these angel stuff, God, you know? But this is the thing. God is a creative God, and he's created all these multitudes of hosts, and everything that God creates has a purpose to reveal something of him, whether it's human or angelic. Every single one of you in this room have been created to reveal an aspect of God that nobody else can reveal, and the same is true of the angelic realm. He created every single angel, 10,000s upon 10,000s of them, for a purpose. And so when we have encounters with angels, we are encountering aspects of God that he is, in his creativity, he has worked into them and called them to. And of course, one of the most powerful examples of this is the seraphim. I love the seraphim. I'll talk about the seraphim. Is that all right? Are you still with me? I'll talk about the seraphim, and then we'll just see what God wants to do, and then we'll have a break. Okay? Is that all right? Who wants to hear about the seraphim? I love these seraphim. The word seraphim means fiery ones, and they cry out day and night. They're flying around the throne, and all they're doing is going, holy, 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 and they do it non-stop, and they never get bored, because remember, they're full of eyes, and that speaks of heightened perception. So they have the ability to look in to the God that they're worshiping, right into the center of who he is. They have the ability to perceive the depths of the mysteries of who God is, and as soon as you see it, you can't help yourself. It's not hard for those four living creatures to cry, holy! If you saw God, you'd be going, holy! Just because of who he is. So when you hear that cry, if you're in heaven and you hear the cry, holy, you're actually hearing something of the depth of God that they're looking into with their heightened perception. These creatures, these seraphim, their holy is proclaiming something of who God is, and all of heaven's ringing with their holy. God so wants to be known, he's created these creatures that have the ability to look into him and proclaim and release revelation and fascination through their voices. Christians are supposed to be the most fascinated people on the planet. How can you tell a Christian? Because their mouth's wide open. Wow! Because holy just means, wow, holy, wow. So the Christians are the ones with their mouths hanging wide open. Wow! Have some practice. Wow! This is our God. He created us to be fascinated with him. These four living creatures never, ever get bored as they're crying around, proclaiming, holy, 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 holy. They had the task of looking into God and proclaiming what they see. Their voices carry revelation, which grips the heart with holy fascination. Every time they thunder holy, all of heaven's riveted to this beautiful God and celebrating him in new, renewed ways and with renewed vigor. When they speak, of course, the 24 elders fall down and worship. But this is the bit that I love, is the interaction in the Bible between seraphim and humans. Do you think that these holy creatures that are flying around the throne going, holy, 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 would want to take a minute's break to stop doing that? No way. I don't fully get scripture, but if I was one of those dudes, I'd love to go for a ride on a seraphim. Who's been for a ride on a camel? Oh, true. I ask that question in countries that I go to, and I always get surprised when I say when they say they've ridden on a camel, because like if it's Taiwan, I think, where are the camels? So I said, where did you ride on a camel? They say at the zoo. So okay. So then I say to them, have you ever ridden on a kangaroo? This isn't youth meetings. They always love that, the thought of riding on a kangaroo. Then I say to them this, how'd you like to have a ride on a seraphim? What would it be like to have a ride on a seraphim? Wow, that'd be something else. So they interact with human beings. They actually move away from the throne, crying, holy, 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 and interact with us, because part of the mystery of looking into God actually moves them toward us. That's how interested God is in us. This whole spirit realm is interested in you. The unseen realm is moving all around you in multi-layered dimensions, and we're walking through life kind of, duh, nothing's happening, duh. Sorry for insulting you. I'm not sorry for insulting you. Kathy says we need to be more rude in New Zealand. Hallelujah. So what happens in Isaiah chapter 6 is Isaiah appears before the throne and he sees them. They're going, holy, holy, holy. And one of the seraphim comes to the altar of incense. He takes a live coal off the altar and he puts it on Isaiah's lips. He speaks to Isaiah. He says, you've been cleansed from your iniquity. This seraphim, they're interested in us. You can meet them. You can shake their hands, or I suppose it's shake their wings or something. I don't know. We can interact with the seraphim. The Bible makes it clear that they are really interested in us. One of the seraphim stopped crying holy to place a coal of fire on Isaiah's lips. They are concerned to bring us to a place where we can interact with God. Isaiah had a problem. Unclean! This is too much for me. I don't feel like I should be here. The seraphim, moved with the heart of God, gets the coal of fire, puts it on Isaiah's lips so that Isaiah could interact with this realm. That realm is moving to help you interact with it. Huh? Yes, hey, you could get a little more Pentecostal on me. The seraphim are very interested in the earth and the people of the nations. Did you know that? What are they crying? Isaiah 6:3, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory. That's what they're crying. What on earth, forgive the pun, are they talking about earth for? They're in heaven. They're looking into God. They're looking at the glory of God. And they're saying that the whole earth is filled with his glory. Huh? Doesn't make sense. Maybe there's something in that we need to discover. They are interested in the earth. Very, very interested. And in Revelation 5, we see these seraphim flying around the throne, and they are proclaiming something amazing. Let me find it for you. Revelation 5, 9 and 10. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. Now, the New King James actually gets this wrong, but if you've got an NIV, it gives you a more correct translation. The seraphim are actually praising God, and they're wowed because he's redeemed people by his blood out of every tribe, people, language, and nation. The whole of heaven is worshiping God, and as they're doing that, they're catching his heart, and they're focused on the earth. They're intensely interested in the earth. So, let me finish. God gives John an invitation. He says, come up here. That invitation is being made to us still today, but it echoes the intense focus that they have on mankind. Every tribe, tongue, people, nation, all of heaven is focused on this. They're fascinated by this. It concerns God's heart, so it concerns them. All of the, I'm about to use the will of heaven, like, you know, the will of the ring. You know that ring in the Lord of the Rings? It had a will. It had to go back to its master. Well, the whole will of the Father is focused on the earth and focused on his bride, and all of heaven is moved by that will, and they're interested in you. And we're down here on the earth thinking, oh, I wish I could see an angel, or I wish I could have a heavenly visitation. And we think we're the hungry ones, and they're just having their heavenly stuff and not even interested in us. And they're busy saying, I wish they knew I was here. I wish they knew that I was accompanying them, helping them, and I wish they would let me pour these fresh oils and exquisite wines and touch their lips with coals of fire and all these different things. He has a place in the Spirit for you right now. I don't know why for 7 months, every time I'm in the Spirit, I'm at this brazen altar, but it was good and I liked it. And I say, God, any piece of furniture you want to take me to, any place in the Spirit, I mean, you want to take me, I just want to sit there and get everything I can out of it. What I'm trying to tell you is this, that there is a place right now that he has for you, a place in the Spirit. It's the place he wants you to be. He might want to pick you up and put you in all these different places. He might want to take you in a progression, 1, 2, 3, 4. It doesn't matter. I just want you to know there's a place in the Spirit, and all of heaven is moving to get you into that place in the Spirit. Okay, put your pens, Bibles down. Let's stand up. Holy Spirit, we love you. We thank you. Let your anointing come. Father, we thank you for the new wine. We thank you for the fire and the wind. Father, I ask right now, you come with fire, you come with wind. God, that you actually want to take us places in the Spirit, that there is dimensions, that it's a multifaceted realm, there's layer upon layer. And right now, I'm asking you, begin to take us into those places in the Spirit, Lord, that have maybe been off bounds to us before because our thinking blocked us off. Father, I ask right now, your open mind, your open heart. God, you begin to take us to places in the Spirit that you have for us, Lord, that we would begin to interact with this unseen realm, Lord, that you'd begin to open our eyes to the realm that is revealed to us in Revelation 4 and 5, that we'd hear that prophetic cry saying, come up here, come up here, that we'd hear the cry of holy, holy, holy as an invitation to be fascinated with our God. Lord, let your glory come. Lord, we thank you that throne room, it belongs to us by birthright inheritance. We thank you that scrolls and mantles and coals of fire, they belong to us. Lord, we thank you for the movement of the angelic right here in the room this morning, that you're opening our consciousness to that which already is. Lord, that the angels are beginning to catch us into the multifaceted dimension of the knowledge of God and the beauty of God and the incredible wisdom that governs the spirit realm. Lord, that you have things for us that eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard. Father, right now, I just come against everything that has blocked off permission to this realm which you've opened to us. Father, I pray you break mindsets, you break limitations, you break yokes and mantles, Lord, that your yoke is easy, your burden is light, that you have mantled us with heaven by blood, that it's a signed deal, it's done, it's finished with, and that we have access into the heavens. And what's more, the heavens are moving in on us in profound ways. Lord, we thank you that this whole realm of visualization and creativity is wide open, and you're catching us up with the movement and the groove. Whoa, give us holy fascination, God. God, we'd love a ride on one of those seraphim. We'd like to look into their eyes. We don't know which one to look into, they've got so many. It's a realm of perception and knowing and seeing and discovering. It's a realm of creativity. The throne is full of color. It's full of sound. It's full of movement. It's beautiful. It's fascinating. It never stops. You ever wondered how those seraphim don't crash into each other? They fly around that throne. Perfect. Everything's perfect in heaven. It's just mesmerizing. Forget the ballet. Holy Ghost. Even the men will be fascinated by this one. Let your glory come. We love you, Holy Spirit. You are so diverse and colorful and rich and beautiful. Let the fragrance of heaven begin to flood through our lives in new ways. Father, we thank you for signs and wonders that point to the God that you are. Lord, we declare that you're the God that wants to be with us. You're the supernatural God that wants to be with us. We declare that you're the God who's good. You can't be contained. You're breaking out all around our lives and in the church. Lord, we thank you for your heavenly deluge you released in Pentecost. God, we'll have the wine. We'll have the fire and the wind, but we won't reject the wine. We love the wine. It's as awesome as the fire and the wind. God, we receive the whole package. God, we love the government of the Spirit. Come more, Holy Spirit. Let your glory come. There's just like a weight in the room here. Just yield to that. More Holy Spirit. Let him take you where he wants to take you. Let him place you in the Spirit. More Holy Spirit. Let your glory come. His glory realm is like wave upon wave upon wave. Capture us with your heart and with your mysteries, God. Thank you for the wind that picks us up and carries us and takes us to many places in the Spirit and in the earth. Thank you that we live in a time where things are shifting and changing and moving. Oh, God. Deeper Holy Spirit. Wave upon wave upon wave of beauty and glory. Lord, I ask you to release an anointing for holy fascination. God, convince every one of us by revelation that there are angels that are working with us. More Holy Spirit. Your glory come. Hallelujah. Lord, take us places. Father, I ask right now that just like that experience happened with Murray Watkinson, I want to declare that this is a nation, a prophetic nation, that is called, it's a nation of wind. And Aotearoa, the land of the cloud, but it's a nation of wind. I just got there right now. We're a nation of wind. This is a nation of wind. And the Lord says, I'm going to release my wind, and I'm going to fling people to the far corners of the earth with the wind. But this time it's going to be with the government of heaven. Because I'm going to catch people up under the throne, and they're going to see the eyes and see the wings. But it's not just about what they're seeing. It's the government of the Spirit. It's a new government. It's a government that was released, has been moving on the earth since Adam and Eve sinned. It's a government that was released through the blood of Jesus. It's a government of the earth that will be demonstrated an unprecedented measure in an end time generation. The Lord says, I'm going to release people from this nation, and they're not just going to be blessing messengers. They're going to be messengers with the government of the Spirit. They're going to carry spiritual government that's going to open up cities, that's going to open up nations. Some people in this nation will be highly visible, but others will be secret messengers that will go into nations. Nobody will even know who they are, but they will turn the nation upside down. Such will be the authority and the government of the Spirit. The Lord says the land that I call small will be big in the Spirit. It will be big. It will be a witness that I make that which is small big, and that which is insignificant I make significant. The Lord says the anointing on this nation is way out of proportion to the size of the nation. The Lord says, my judgment is not on this nation. My blessing is on this nation, because there's a cry from one end of the nation to the other that says, God, we want you. We want your rule of mercy. We want the government of the Spirit. We're prepared to go anywhere in the nation. And Lord, we prophesy the movement of that wind right across our nation, that we are people of the wind, people of the water, and people of the wind. Hallelujah. It was Rick Joyner who said that we have an anointing for zeal, new zeal. We have an anointing for zeal, but the area where the enemy attacks this nation is apathy. Father, we declare that zeal is ruling over apathy, that mercy is ruling over judgment. I can just see that the spirit of judgment actually creates a lot of the apathy in this nation. Father, we ask that the accuser of the brethren would be cast down in our churches. Lord, that there be such a spirit of honor in the atmosphere of heaven, the overflow of heaven. Father, we thank you for the wind. We thank you for the fire. And we thank you for the new wine that softens our hearts. Hallelujah. Take more. Be greedy for God this morning. Take more. Whether it's happening with you or not, doesn't matter. You're just being in this atmosphere. It's going to do something. Take more. Let the wind take you. Let him take you where he wants to take you. Let the government of the Spirit take you where he wants to take you. Lord, I release eyes. I release the wings. Release the throne of God, Lord. We release spiritual perception. We release that ability to interact with that realm like we're supposed to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Nations, nations, nations. I can see him firebranding nations. Nations. Oh, hey, it's not going to be done like it used to be done. This is the government of the Spirit. It's the government of the Spirit. It's not going to make sense to the natural mind. But it's a government of holiness. It's a government of mercy. It's a government of joy. It's a government of childlikeness. It's a government of freedom. Teach us how to catch the wind. Teach us how to catch the wind. It's not hard to catch the wind. Eagles know how to fly. You're an eagle Christian. Do some flying, eagles. Do some flying. Go somewhere. Go someplace. An ambassador of heaven. Very important person. I see a lot of these secret messengers that God's going to send to the nations. They are going to have an anointing to break poverty in the nations. The Lord says this nation will have an anointing to break poverty. Small-mindedness and small thinking will begin to break over the church in a nation that is small. And there will be a holy hatred of poverty. I see people being sent into African nations where lack of water and different things is even decimating populations. But people from New Zealand, not only New Zealand, but other countries, but particularly our nation, they will go, and rather than just have a vision to supply natural water, they'll have a vision to supply a nation with life, the fullness of life. It'll be water, supernatural wells. Yeah, I like it. I can see people right now, actually like Moses, striking the ground, but not in anger this time, striking the ground, and a well coming up. In the middle of places that are full of, not just finding where there's a hidden well, but actually supernaturally creating wells. Hallelujah. Let's have some fun doing God stuff. You know, Sue went to the nations a couple months ago and she got a hiding. But we're to go to the nations and have some fun. But whether we get a hiding or we have fun, he's God, right? Holy Spirit, we love you.
Just a while ago, I saw an angel kind of go like this, and I just felt like God was giving something to somebody. I don't know if it was a vision or a word, but it was like, I don't know if you got that or what, or it just passed. Somebody get something? I thought it was quite important.
Go, God. Father, we ask that whatever the spirit realm is trying to give us right now, let's just lift our hands in faith. Whatever the spirit realm is trying to give us right now, we receive it, we take it. Lord, we apprehend that which is before us and being released to us. Lord, we don't lift our hands just because it's the habitual thing to do. We lift our hands because you're a generous God and you give us things. And we want you to give, we want to receive and apprehend the very thing that is coming toward us in the Spirit right now. Father, I pray not a single one of us go home without having apprehended the thing you have for us. Okay, more Holy Spirit. You want to keep going a little longer? Is that all right? Okay, more Holy Spirit. Catch us into that realm, Lord, where there's eyes and there's wings. Sister's whispering in my ear. She just sensed a real authority on that before. Father, Lord, we really want to know, not just about these things and hear about them. We actually want to know what it means to step into a realm where the government of the Spirit is so tangible and it's so real. And so, Lord, we release that realm here in the room this morning. Lord, we release the realm of throne. We release the realm of visitation. We release the realm of wings and eyes. And Lord, that everything that captures that realm, the fascination with God, the perception, the whole realm of visualization being open, dreams, visions, prophetic encounters, seeing like we've never seen before, seeing like the living creatures see. But not only seeing, seeing with a voice. And as they see, they begin to cry, holy. And the Lord says, I want you to look, but it's going to cause a voice. It's going to cause a voice to sound forth. It's going to cause a trumpet sound to come forth that will awaken people to the spirit realm and to the government that's in the spirit. You know, I've gone back into a prophetic flow I had before, but there's a rule of mercy that the Lord wants to demonstrate through our nation. It's not a rule of judgment. It's a rule of mercy because it's a mercy seat and it's a throne of mercy. And the eyes and the wings and the living creatures, and what it's speaking of is looking into the heart of this God of mercy who sits on a mercy seat, and his government comes out of mercy. And Father, I ask that government would overcome us in such a way that we would never recover from it. Mighty God. Yeah, so hey, take more. Take more. You don't have enough. Heaven's big, it's full, it's large. Yes, you be. Well, Lord, we open up the portals you have for the city. We open them up. We say, Holy Spirit, yes, rip through the city, radical, wild, free, be everything you are. We don't want to limit you, hold you back in any way at all. We thank you that portals are wide open, that eyes are being wide open, that the faith realm is being opened, that the government of mercy is beginning to conquer us. And Lord, we ask that you drown us in mercy and consume us with your zeal. A zeal that comes from a government of mercy, not a zeal that comes from religious strength or fervor. Lord, we thank you that you have the God that rides the heavens and that cares for us. Hallelujah.
I want to share something because, there's no time or distance in the spirit realm, right? So when people started laughing, I immediately was taken to Wales. And I was in Wales and I was in a valley that I know. And I was with someone, I was right in this prayer meeting where people were praying for Wales. Because Wales is having a move of the spirit. But they're fighting off a huge poverty spirit, you know, ever since they closed the coal mines. And I saw these people praying, but then I heard the laughter. Remember what I said, the laughter is the victory? So there's no time or distance in the spirit, so the laughter from here got a victory. The laughter from here got a victory for them. Because that's where I immediately went, was to that prayer meeting in Wales. And then I saw, like in my hands were stuck for ages. And I had a huge lump of coal. And I thought, what is the deal with the coal? Then it suddenly changed into gold coins. So where the closing of the mines brought them poverty, God's going to find them a new source that will produce finances for them. You see, so okay, so you're here and we're a little place in New Zealand. But I believe that connection totally hooked in for them and got the victory for them at that prayer meeting in Wales. I can tell you where it is, that church and everything. So it's so exciting to me. There's no time or distance. See, so their poverty is going to be replaced. God's going to give them something else. Yeah. Woo!
If you want to buy my book, the story I told about the face of Jesus is in this book, Passion and Fire. So get one of them. This is about ministering to widows and the fatherless. So this is like getting hugged by Daddy God. The other book's like getting hugged by a fireball. And there's some CDs there as well on the spirit of Jezebel, humility, Elijah's mantle, the double portion. So make sure you have a look at them.